Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, just verse 26. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and was buried, not as a powerless victim, but a willing sacrifice, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. For just under 2,000 years, Christians across the face of the earth have been confessing that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. But did you know that up until 60 years ago, many historians disputed that Pontius Pilate even existed? Really? Why would historians dispute that Pontius Pilate existed? Well, despite the events recorded in the Gospels, which they don't consider to be history, and the records of Jewish historians Philo and Josephus, and a Roman historian by the name of Tacitus, it was simply the fact that there was no physical evidence, no physical records of his administration or his letters to Rome. And as a result, many historians questioned whether Jesus of Nazareth actually did suffer under Pontius Pilate. Then in the summer of 1961, some of you probably remember that year, Italian archaeologists found a piece of limestone in the ruins of a sports stadium in the seaport of Caesarea on the Mediterranean Sea. The piece of limestone was 2 foot by 3 foot. And though it didn't exist at the time of Jesus, it had 4 words engraved in it. Pontius Pilate, praefactus, Judaeae. If your Latin is a little rusty, that means Pontius Pilate, ruler of Judea. Some historians suggest that that's the only physical link to the man who gave the order that Jesus of Nazareth should be crucified. Others say it's fairly miraculous that that piece of limestone survived. They say that the sea could have washed away the lettering and we wouldn't have physical proof of Pontius Pilate's existence. At least that's what some historians say. Whew! I guess we can still confess that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate thanks to that piece of limestone. Actually, the piece of limestone didn't matter at all to first century Christians. And it shouldn't matter to Christians today. After all, our faith is based upon the rock that is God's word, not the stones that are dug up, and not the many volumes, dusty volumes, written by historians. We don't need to discover Noah's Ark or the Ark of the Covenant to know that it existed. We don't need DNA evidence to believe that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. In 2004, actor Mel Gibson produced the film The Passion, picturing the suffering and death of Jesus. If you recall, he was immediately attacked and labeled anti-Semitic because of his depiction of the hatred of the Jews for Jesus of Nazareth. He was, of course, as often is the case, called to give an account by Diane Sawyer on the television program ABC News Primetime. She asked him directly, "Who killed Jesus of Nazareth?" Gibson replied, "We all did." He continued, "Jesus was a child of Israel among other children of Israel. There were Jews and Romans in Israel. There were no Norwegians there. The Jewish Sanhedrin and those they held sway over the Romans were the material agents of his demise." End quote. In other words, Mr. Gibson says it is all of our faults, along with the Jews and the Romans. This morning we ask the same question, who killed Jesus of Nazareth? And we seek the answers not from actors and directors, not from historians as such, but from God's word. Is Mr. Gibson correct? Did all of us kill Jesus? Was it the Jewish Sanhedrin? Was it the Roman soldiers? Was it Pontius Pilate? May God the Holy Spirit bless our study of the scriptures. Amen. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. It would seem rather easy to answer the question, who killed Jesus of Nazareth? After all we need to do is figure out who the he is referred to in this single verse. And even though our unbelieving world rejects the Gospels as historical documents, it does furnish an answer to the question. So who was it that released Barabbas, a murderer, to the assembled crowd? Who was it that gave the order for Jesus to be scourged? Who was it that gave the order for Jesus to be crucified? If we find the answers to these questions, then we'll have the answer to the question, who killed Jesus of Nazareth? And we need only back up a few verses to determine who the he is that did these three things. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. One man was responsible for releasing Barabbas, ordering that Jesus be scourged, and ordering his crucifixion. Pontius Pilate, praefectus Judaeae. I guess that wasn't all that difficult, was it? But is it really fair to pin the whole thing on Pontius Pilate, the governor? It's true that he had the authority to release Jesus, but was he really responsible? After all, the Jewish leaders demanded with loud voices that Jesus be crucified. The mob that they assembled demanded that Jesus be crucified and even offered to take responsibility for his blood. So shall we say, Pontius Pilate succumbed to their wishes and they killed Jesus. We could, and some would probably agree with us, and the rest would call us what they called Mel Gibson, anti-Semitic. Who killed Jesus of Nazareth? I'm sure all of the literalist lawyers out there would correct us and point out that, yes, obviously, the Roman soldiers killed Jesus of Nazareth. They were the ones that caused massive blood loss by scourging him as directed. They caused his death by nailing him to a cross. They even pierced his side to confirm that he was dead. But they were acting under orders. They weren't responsible. The responsibility for their actions must be traced up the chain of command to... So it was Pontius Pilate who was responsible for Jesus' death. There is no doubt that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. He suffered the indignity of being rejected in favor of a murderer. He suffered physically being scourged as commanded. He died as a result of Pilate's direct order. I guess that settles it, doesn't it? Well, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, before you render your verdict, perhaps you should hear from one of Jesus' own disciples. He spoke on the matter just 50 days after it happened to a crowd of Jews assembled in Jerusalem. He said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Well, okay. Simon, the son of John, said that the Jews were responsible for putting Jesus to death. They took him by lawless hands and crucified and put him to death. So then the Jews were the ones who killed Jesus. I guess that makes Peter and all of us who agree anti-Semitic. Except for one other thing. Maybe you heard that along the way in Peter's speech. He said that all of this happened because Jesus was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Did you get that? It wouldn't have happened except that God delivered Jesus into their hands, knowing beforehand what they would do to him. This is getting confusing. Jesus was killed in accord with God's determined purpose and foreknowledge. God delivered his son up to be crucified by the lawless hands of the Jews, including their leaders and a mob, through the decree of Pontius Pilate and the actions of Roman soldiers. Does that about cover it? It's starting to sound like Mel Gibson was right. Everyone's to blame. So does that about do it? Well, no, there's one more thing. You see, Jesus spoke about his death beforehand. And this is what he had to say. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus said beforehand, before Pontius Pilate ever was faced with the decision, that he would lay down his life and he would take it again. He said that no one would take his life, but rather he would give it up as commanded by his Father. When Simon Peter hacked off the ear of the high priest's servant Malchus, Jesus rebuked him, reminding him that if he needed help, it would come from above. Thank you. There were other events along the way that showed that Jesus of Nazareth was more than a man. When the arresting mob first appeared and he answered their question, they fell to the ground. And so he had to answer it a second time. When Peter hacked off Malchus's ear, he put it back on without surgical gear. He healed him. And when he died on Calvary, there was darkness over the face of the earth and an earthquake and a resurrection of people formerly dead. It's true that all these things happened during the rule of one Pontius Pilate, Praefectus Judaei, but he wasn't the one that set this all in motion. It was our gracious Father and his loving Son. In fact, even beaten and bloodied, you heard it in our gospel lesson, Jesus reminded Pontius Pilate that he would have no power at all over him had that not been given to him from above. And according to Jesus' own words, no one killed him. He laid down his life and on the third day took it again. No victim, a willing sacrifice. Perhaps a bigger question is, why did Jesus have to die? And the simplest answer is, our redemption required it. We are the guilty. We are the Barabbases. We have sinned against God countless times by misusing our members, our mouths, and our minds. We minimize the seriousness of our sin, our rebellion. The case against us is open and shut. Not just yours and mine. The entire human race. But God the judge determined in the very beginning to have mercy instead of condemning us. I hate to say it, but from one standpoint, Mel Gibson was right. Jesus' death was made necessary by every one of us. And it was God who decided, not Pontius Pilate, that Jesus had to die to make things right with him. It was God who laid the death sentence on his son that we might become part of his family by faith through adoption. Who killed Jesus of Nazareth? The question is simple. The answer is complicated. It's true, Pontius Pilate gave the order, prompted by the Jewish leaders and their mob. It's true that the Roman soldiers carried out the death sentence and Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. But it's also true that God determined in eternity to deliver Jesus up for our offenses. God so loved this cesspool of sinners that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Son willingly submitted to die the one death that would redeem us all. And the prophet Isaiah, ironically, isn't it? An Old Testament prophet has the honor of setting us straight and laying it out simply. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I was asked last week about the fate of Pontius Pilate. Did Pilate go to hell for killing Jesus? Well, did he? The Bible doesn't specifically answer that question. But if Pontius Pilate is in hell, it isn't because he killed Jesus. It's because he didn't believe in him when he died. Rather than worry about who's to blame, let's recognize and rejoice in the fact that Jesus' death has set us free. Instead of worrying about who's in heaven and who's in hell, let's make sure that we stay close to Jesus so that when we depart in peace, it will be to the Father's house. And until then, we will continue to confess, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.